Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Before we dive into today's show with best-selling author Brian Benson, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsors for the show, Markham Search. Markham Search LLC offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, and they also offer payrolling services for corporations looking to transform their independent contractors into payroll executive and payrolling needs. Today we have with us on the show G. Brian Benson. He is an award-winning and number one best-selling self-improvement and children's book author, an actor, a filmmaker, a coach, and a TEDx speaker. As a four-time Ironman triathlete and cross-country cyclist, Brian knows the value of hard work and never giving up on his dreams, a message he shares with audiences through each of his creative expressions. Brian's brand new book, Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar, is an Amazon number one bestseller and was selected as a 2019 Book Excellence Award winner in the motivational book category. Thanks so much for joining us today, Brian.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Jennifer.
Yeah, so Brian, it's so great how we met. You know, we had connected, I think it was probably 6 or 8 months ago through a mutual friend, and I was so inspired by your story, and I'd love it if you wouldn't mind if you could just start off today by sharing a little bit with our listeners of kind of how you came to be an author, an actor, a triathlete, and, you know, best-selling author at that. What tell us a little bit about your story.
Okay, I'll try to make it brief.
Hey, we have some time. It's all good.
Okay, all right, cool. About 10 years ago, I was running my family's business. We had a golf center up in Salem, Oregon, which was a retail store, a 9-hole par 3 course and a driving range. And I just started feeling like I was done working there. I was kind of burnt out and felt like I wasn't growing anymore. And so I had a chat with my dad, and he was understanding and kind of gave me his blessing to leave. And I would have done it either way, but it was nice to have his blessing. But I wasn't able to leave as soon as I had wanted. I ended up staying an extra year because we decided to sell it. And we had to go through that process of listing it, et cetera. So that last year was tough. I was ready to hit the road, even though I didn't know what I was going to do next. But one day I sat down because I was feeling really out of balance. And I've always tried to be the best version of myself. And so I sat down and wrote down 5 things on a piece of paper that I knew that would help keep me in balance during this period. And every time I kind of struggled, I'd pull the list out of my pocket and I would read it. And it helped. So much so that my intuition screamed, expand the list and write a book. although I'd never written anything before. And so I did. It just kind of came through me in a couple of months, and it was a kind of a simple, but interesting and kind of entertaining book on a whole bunch of different ways to stay in life balance, called Brian's List. And you know, I self-published it, and it came out, and it didn't sell very much initially because I didn't know how to market a book 10 years ago. Plus, I was really scared to speak in front of people, and it ended up winning a couple of awards, which really shocked me. But more importantly, yeah, I realized that if I wanted to share this message, I needed to overcome my fear of speaking. So I just went for it. I stepped out of my comfort zone in a lot of different ways. I took a couple community college speech classes. I did Toastmasters for a little while. I hired someone to co-host an internet radio show with me. Doing that, I created a workshop based around the book, an interactive workshop, and I thought I was being clever by making it interactive so I wouldn't have to speak the whole time, but I found out it worked really well that way. And I also took an acting class with no plans on acting, but I just intuitively felt like all those things would help me. And as I found, as I started doing all these things, I started to kind of feel alive and empowered. And they led to other things. And I just kind of kept following my intuition and saying yes. and kind of stepping into the unknown. And before I knew it, I all these things started happening for me. And then, you know, I've written 4 more books and, moved to LA 6 years ago to pursue acting as well. And ultimately, I really like to create positive content in a lot of different ways, whether it's a short film or a video or, a TEDx talk or presentation, you name it. And so everything's still evolving, but it was kind of an interesting way how it all, came together originally.
Wow. And didn't you, if I'm not mistaken, just launch your own, I think it's podcast, you're part of a channel now that's a little bit more spiritually inclined, right?
Yes, both. I actually kind of just started my own podcast recently, as well as I'm going to be doing a show on a new online TV network. It's kind of never really been done like this before. It's called the Awake TV Network, and it launches November 11th. My show is weekly on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific. But basically, they're going to have 8 hours of live shows every day and 7 days a week. And so they have like 60 teachers now. And ultimately, I think they're shooting for kind of an around-the-clock deal. And they've got teachers from all over the world. And so, yeah, it is kind of more spiritually based, self-help based. And my show is going to be called Be Yourself to Free Yourself. And I'm just going to kind of, it's going to be a catch-all for everything positive and inspiring and empowering. And, I can kind of do all kinds of things with it. I can have guests or I can teach out of my books. But it's kind of wide open. So I'm a little nervous, but it's a good nervous. I'm excited, because I'm an introvert by nature, believe it or not. And so to talk for that long is just like, oh, really? But it's easier for me to answer questions. but it's going to be a great opportunity. And they've partnered up with Zoom and Vimeo together to make this happen. And so we'll see. We're crossing our fingers.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. And so tell me, kind of the show that you're going to be doing, it's just about kind of connecting to your inner self and being your highest and best version of yourself. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Gosh, I think we're all here to learn and grow, but I think probably the hardest thing that we have to do for most of us is to learn how to love and accept ourselves, just with who we are and what we have to work with. And so I feel like everything that I've created through the years has been an extension of my own self-growth process. And so the show, I just look forward to sharing in a lot of different ways, sharing personal stories, having guests on, talk about some of the different things in my balance book or my new book, The Habits for Success, you name it. And so, I just want, ultimately, I really love to just help people, inspire people to kind of step into who they are and give them permission to be themselves. Because I had to work really hard at it myself, but I've done the work and it feels really good. And I just ultimately want that for others, I think what brings one person happiness might be different for somebody else. However, I love to try to help people tap into what that is.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to somebody recently about happiness, and it seems like happiness is kind of this unicorn that we're all chasing, right? This mythical creature. And so one of my friends, very, very intelligent entrepreneur who I know, he has said something like, well, what is happiness and why is it we're chasing it to begin with? What if happiness isn't the goal? What if it's just kind of going along and doing the best you can? And it was the first time somebody had actually said, what if happiness wasn't the goal? And I was kind of floored by that. Well, what do you mean happiness isn't the goal? That's what we're all taught. Happiness has to be the goal.
Well, I don't disagree at all. And I heard something recently too, and I forgot who said it, but happiness, they said, it can be, is fleeting. It doesn't, we go through periods of maybe happiness, whereas I think there's a difference where joy is more sustainable. And don't ask me to explain that, but you're right. It's really about, isn't it really ultimately come down to expectations and stuff and not just being in the moment? Because if we can stay in the moment, then we're not setting ourselves up for all kinds of things that, that are going to kind of maybe put us on a roller coaster.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point, Brian. I think what you're saying is, for example, if I'm happy in this moment, then perhaps something led to my happiness. I think happiness is more of an external thing, I guess, and you could have it be a state of being ontologically. So I guess that would be an interesting inquiry of happiness and or joy. And how do you be either one of those things without expectation or attachment to what's going on around you, whether you got the promotion or whether you got the book deal or whether your spouse was happy when you came home or your best friend called you back?
Well, right, right. And one, even one step further, I think, you know, since we, a lot of times we are looking outside of ourselves for that, that inner happiness and joy, you know, we'll go do things to fill that void, whether it's maybe go shop or go drinking or what have you. And those might give you moments of happiness, but they're not going to sustain you. They're not going to, you know what I mean? They're not, they're temporary.
Yeah, I think that somebody really smart earlier this year was telling me that it's really about the process. I feel like, oh, you know what it was? I was listening, Brian. Have you heard of Gaia TV? It sounds like kind of a similar principle to what the program that you're involved with is.
Yeah, I actually sold one of my short films to them. It's in the subscriber service.
Oh my gosh, which one? I would love to check it out. I've been checking them out lately.
Searching for Happiness.
Oh, how apropos.
yeah, right.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. And I'm obsessed with one of Greg Braden's series on there about missing link. And he was talking about evolution and how, you know, our entire society is based on these capitalistic principles that came from Darwin's theory of evolution of survival of the fittest. And I guess scientists back in the 1990s started to question this and say, what if it's not about trying to outdo each other or take each other down? What if it's actually about cooperation? And if I understood Greg Braden's little segment I watched, I think he said that 400 separate studies confirmed that the best and the highest good for all of us when it comes to the right amount of competition in any environment is 0%. And I remember just being floored by that, of like, wow, what if this whole time our entire society, and particularly in the United States, it's do better, you know, do better than your neighbor, achieve more. And that's what we equate happiness to. And it's kind of more of this, competitive sort of nature, as opposed to cooperation, where we're looking at how can Jennifer and Brian or any one of us collaborate for the greater success of the whole.
I totally agree with you. I mean, it just chasing and being competitive and you know, fighting for scraps and just trying to outdo people does not bring us happiness. And I think, wow, you know, thinking about that in that regard, social media, you know,
right?
we all get kind of addicted to it, and we're seeing everybody's best and we're comparing it with our worst. And so that in and of itself is just a real drain, you know. I don't disagree with you. It really is about cooperation and just being in that place of just being happy with who we are.
Yeah, in the process, and not trying to be so outcome oriented. It's not about getting the corner office or you know, the Mercedes you've always wanted. And to your point, that'll give you fleeting happiness. But it's like the moment that that thing that you've always desired, that you wanted it so bad, it could be your soulmate, getting married, the job, the car, the whatever it is, the moment you have that, that desire goes away, and then you kind of shrink in on yourself, and then you have to start desiring something new all over again in order to go down the next path.
Exactly. It's never ending. It's never ending. And you know, you had mentioned about the process. I learned a lot of lessons the last 10 years, and one of them for me was a tough one, but every time I would release a project, whether it was a book or a short film or what have you, my expectations were such that I probably wasn't able to enjoy just the fact that I, you know, worked really hard and created something that I was proud of, because I was worried about how it was going to do and if it was going to spring me to the next level. And for a while, every time I released something, I'd be depressed. And it just got to the point where, you know, I don't want to keep doing this or it's going to feel like this. Seriously. And so I just really, really forced me. And it's so cliche, but it really is about the journey and not the destination. And I had to kind of learn that one the hard way. But, you know, anymore, of course, I want whatever I'm doing to get out there to hopefully help people and share. But I can't, that's out of my hands. All I can really do is the best job I can with it and then just birth it and say, you know, blessings, go do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's funny, Brian, the image that just came to me because I felt the same way. It's like if you're writing a paper or pouring your heart and soul into anything, or for a mother, I don't have children personally, but I'm sure there must be a similar experience, which perhaps leads to postpartum, if you've put your heart and soul into birthing this thing. And then you let it go. And for me, I remember when years ago I used to surf with somebody in my early 20s. And the funny thing about surfing, for anybody out there who hasn't done it, it's like you paddle, paddle, paddle. It's your heart and soul. You're doing everything you can. These waves are just knocking you down and you're getting banged. And then all of a sudden you get out to the calm. And then you're out in the calm and your goal is as quickly as possible to turn around and get back to shore and to ride the coolest wave. And I feel like that is so, you know, the story of how we live our lives is that we're paddling, 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 being hit and bombarded by the waves of life. We get to the calm for 2 minutes and then we paddle back out. We enjoy the 10-second ride and do it all over again.
Yep. But at least you're out in nature when you're surfing, right?
Yeah, and you're connected with all things. So there
yes,
is that.
Yes.
But tell me a little bit, Brian, about these principles. When you mentioned earlier on about these five principles that kind of lit your fire and had you be inspired to write your first book, can you tell us a little bit about what some of those ideas were that might maybe resonate with some of our listeners?
Oh, sure. So, yeah, so the very first five things that I wrote down that I knew would help keep me in balance during that period were pretty simple. I mean, and you know, I think sometimes, you know, we'll know what there's, you know, we'll know the tools that we need to do, but we forget it. But basically, the first five were, one is make sure I was drinking enough water. And I know it sounds so silly, but it makes a huge difference on how we feel.
True.
So that was one. Another one was make sure that I'm getting enough sleep. And I mean, everybody knows that, but is everybody getting enough sleep? Three was make sure that I was getting some daily exercise. And that was tough right then because I had unexpectedly, well, they didn't diagnose it correctly, but I had a staph infection in my knee. And I ended up, yes, luckily it got diagnosed late in the game by an internist, and I went in and had to have emergency surgery to wash it out, and I had to get antibiotics in my arm for 6 weeks, which was a bummer. But you know, make sure I was getting some daily exercise, and at that point it was just walking. I mean, that's all I could do, even though I have a history of triathlons and really being active. But and then the fourth one is make sure that I was being creative every day. And back then, that was prior to, you know, writing and everything else that I'm doing now. So back then, it was playing my guitar. And finally, the fifth one was make sure that I was allowing myself to have some alone time every day. Because I'm outgoing, but I'm an introvert by nature. And I needed that time to kind of refill my cup. And so those are the five things that kind of got the whole ball rolling for me.
Yeah, I think that last one is so important too, because whenever I come across people personally or professionally who are experiencing a sense of lack, sadness, depression, oftentimes I've found the people I encounter who are in that state of being, it's because of the fact that they give and give and give without refilling their cup, or they hold unhealthy boundaries. They don't have good physical, emotional, or psychological boundaries with the people in their life. And so no matter how much sleep you get or water you drink or whatever you're doing, you're still feeling mentally, emotionally, and physically depleted at the end of every day. Not in a good way.
Yeah, yes. And I've really learned, you know, all those different, you know, I don't think it's any accident that my first book was on a whole bunch of different ways to stay in balance, because it helped me become a lot more self-aware at the beginning. And since then, I've really kind of been able to, you know, it's helped me develop my routines and just know myself better. And especially with a lot of the stuff that I have to do with public, I need an equal amount of time for me to refill. And, you know, it's good to know that. And so I, you know, take care of myself for sure.
Now, how do you handle it as a man who's written a couple of books and obviously short films and other things that you're working on? How do you handle it if you notice that somebody in your life is taking from you? If you notice that you're around a taker, how do you handle it in a graceful way? Or do you handle it gracefully?
Well, I try to. I mean, I'm a giver too, so sometimes that can sneak up on me, and before I know it, it's like, oh, okay, I'm overgiving, because somebody's taking, you know what I mean, openly receiving too much, you know what I mean. And so, what do I do? You know, I just try to be open, as honest as I can about it, and it just depends on who the person is and what the request was or what it is that I'm doing for them. It really, everything, I think every situation is just a little bit different, but I definitely do what I can to rectify the situation and do it as communicatively as possible so that, you know, there's no hurt feelings or, and sometimes you can't help that, but just, you know, I think I've found that just being honest goes a long ways, and people ultimately, they might be hurt initially, but they'll understand that and they'll respect you for that, for being honest.
Yeah, I think that I've noticed in business so often, it can actually create greater upset in the long run if you don't communicate it as soon as you start to notice a pattern. But some people I've noticed, the takers that I've noticed in my life personally or professionally, they don't even realize it until one day somebody says to them, oh, you know, this relationship didn't work out personally. This relationship didn't work out for me professionally. What's wrong with all these people around me? And do you have any thoughts on that as a friend or as a business advisor? And you have to kind of give them a little side eye and be like, do you really want the answer to this? And then be as kind and loving as you can in a firm way. But I've had those conversations with friends and colleagues over the years, and you see them kind of get wide-eyed, like they can't even fathom in their wildest dreams that they're this person who has just been energetically draining the people they love. And it can be really eye-opening for people.
Absolutely. You know, and no, I don't disagree. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your most recent book. And are there any other habits for success that you would recommend, aside from some of the other ones we already discussed, that you would recommend that people might be able to take away?
Sure. So my latest book, Habits for Success, Inspired Ideas to Help You Soar, came out not quite a year ago. And it was my first publishing deal. So that was really exciting. Everything else I'd done up to then was self-published. And I kind of feel like it's a culmination just of the last 10 years of my life of almost sitting in the observer's role of my own growth process, my own experience, and just sharing what has worked for me. And I tried to write it in an interesting, entertaining, and inspiring way, and thought-provoking way, you know. And gosh, there's a lot more chapters in here. I think there's almost 50 chapters, and everything I talk about, I think, is very valuable. And you know, some of the things that I write about in this book that weren't covered in the first one, you know, just some of the things that got me going initially, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone, listening to your intuition. Oh gosh, I mean, there's just so many things. Boldly saying yes, you know, there's a chapter that's called It's Okay to Fail. Just numerous things like that. And I just try to share through story, through my own self experiences. And yeah, I'm really proud of how it turned out. It recently won an award, which shocked me, but it was really nice confirmation because I worked hard on it, and I feel like it's a really solid book.
Well, I love that. And I love this idea of intuition because I feel like it's this, again, this thing that people talk about. It's kind of this ethereal thing that nobody can quite put their finger on, and science is trying to fully understand it. So when you say you follow your intuition, how do you teach somebody else to, quote unquote, follow their intuition? Because if we all did, we'd all be living happy lives filled with prosperity and our soulmates.
Well, of course. And it's kind of difficult to answer because I think it hits us all a little bit differently. For me, it's just like I get this feeling of all systems are go. You know, I'll just get this idea about something and it'll just be like a solid yes, just pulsating through my body. It's not like I feel it in my gut or anything. I know, you know, we always say, you know, listen to your gut and stuff, but I think some people do maybe feel things that way. But for me, it's just like a knowing that it's a yes. And how can we develop it? Self-awareness, I think slowing down a little bit, you know, like I mentioned a second ago, the balance thing, learning for me how to stay in balance really enabled me to listen to my intuition better, because I eliminated a lot of things that I was doing that kind of kept me busy or not paying attention, or kept me from paying attention, if that makes sense. Probably the biggest thing is just self-awareness. If we can, the more self-aware that we can become, the stronger, solidified our foundation will be. And I think that then we can just, do some things. And there's simple things to do, like, go for a hike, meditation, basic things like that, that will enable us to, hone in as well better to listening to what is coming through for us.
It's funny, Brian, what just occurred to me as you were saying that too, is to tie it back into the people who are the emotional vampires or the takers in our lives. I don't know about you, but I've noticed that if I'm surrounded by drama or victim mentality, myself or other people, because yes, I've been that person also, so I have to fully acknowledge that. I wonder what it would be like to do an exercise. Say you sit down and you make a list of the 20 people you're closest with in your life. It could be family members, it could be colleagues, it could be friendships, and perhaps to look at where you contribute to that person's life and where they contribute to your life, and to look at any imbalances that might be there, and then ask yourself, are you the one who's taking? Are you the one who's, overgiving? And if so, what's the reason behind it? Are you trying to garner somebody's approval? And if there is an imbalance, perhaps to address it in a loving and kind way with that person. Because for me personally, I found when I removed all of those neediness and the, hey, pay attention to me, drama queen behaviors from my early 20s, I started to develop more meaningful friendships. And then it freed me up to have more time and to be able to listen more deeply. And I think our friends are also a reflection and our colleagues of the lessons we need to learn in our own life. But if we're not aware, to your earlier point, if there's no awareness around it, then we're just kind of bumping into walls and being pissed off at the walls for being there, not realizing we're putting them there.
Exactly. And it just perpetuating itself. And so, no, I love that idea that, what you suggested about just kind of listing all those people and just kind of, just taking a little bit of a closer look, a little more self-aware look at how you guys connect with each other. I used to do that workshop I mentioned at the start as I was kind of telling you my backstory. It was called An Introduction to Balance. And it was a lot of fun for me to do because it was different every time I did it, depending on who was in the group. I talked a little bit about, why it's important to have balance and why it's hard to stay in balance, et cetera. But I also had some questions for them and some little exercises that we did. And then we shared when we came back. And so it was always interesting hearing different folks answer. And, I would learn every time I was doing it. And, we're all coming in with different lenses, to the way we see life. And I think it's just the more that we can learn and the more we can become self-aware, the better and more happy we're going to be. It just, release that weight that we carry that doesn't need to be there.
Yeah, because I think that for those people out there who might be suffering, and, we all suffer at different stages in our lives, mm-hmm. and many of us suffer our entire lives, but I think that the quickest way to minimize and mitigate our own suffering is just to begin to look at how could we be contributing to the upsets and the things in our life? Because the minute we blame, the person who just cut us off, or our boss who's a jerk, or our colleague who never gets their work done, then we no longer have the power, and then we're victimized by our circumstances, and we suffer day in, day out by our spouse, our colleague, our boss, whoever it might be. And the moment you can just ask yourself and inquire, not that I am, but what if there were some way that I was contributing or accountable to this? Like, for example, the driver who cuts you off, or, a situation. I remember years ago, Brian, I was doing a personal development program. And I knew clear as in, it was ironic because the class was all about integrity. And so I had parked across the street. I wanted to save myself the $5 in parking. I was in my early 20s. And so I parked at a cafe that clearly said, please do not park here if you're going to XYZ program. And so sure enough, about 2 hours after I've been at this program, I go across the street to my car, except my car isn't there. Now, it's funny because I was in this program on integrity. And so before I had done this sort of work, I would have immediately blamed the cafe. I would have blamed the program I would have was in. I would have blamed everybody around me because it was their fault that my car got towed. But in that moment, I just had a little giggle with myself. I'm like, oh, this is so cute, universe. Thank you for this lesson. You wanted me to learn a lesson in integrity. And I was actually able to connect to gratitude. My car was walking distance where it had been towed. And the amount of money that, you know, that they needed to get my car back was not insurmountable. And so what I really connected to in that moment is instead of being a victim of how unfair it was that my car got towed, I thought, thank you so much that this is a lesson that I can afford to pay and that I can solve relatively easily that I won't repeat.
Amen. I mean, yeah, most of the time when we get mad at someone else or for or something that happens to us, it you know, we're triggered because we're doing the same thing to somebody else, or you know what I mean? It's just, you know, whenever, you know, that whenever something triggers me, you know, whether it's on the highway or freeway here in LA or whatever, I mean, it's just, I just try to take a deep breath and then just kind of, hey, you know what? I've done the exact same thing to somebody else. Or maybe there's something else that's bothering me that's just manifesting itself in anger via that route. You know what I mean? And
the more we can do that,
you get your freedom back and you just, you know, I'm a big proponent of just like putting stuff down on paper. And so in some ways, you know, getting it out of our head and let the paper do the worrying. And so sometimes, you know, if we, in the same regard, you know, whether we're out driving around or whatever, I mean, if we can just kind of slow down for a second and just kind of do the numbers, the whatever in our head, and then just get it out and just like say, okay, this is why, because I'm nervous for my audition that's coming up and, or I'm a few minutes late and I'm getting triggered when somebody slows me down or when somebody's not going as fast as they should be. You know what I mean? Those are simple ways to figure it out, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's so funny. It makes me think there was, have you ever heard of Pema Chodron? I think she's a famous Buddhist teacher. She has a lot of great teachings out there. There was a story I read recently that I think I have somewhere around here and I had shared on social media. Do you have a minute? And I'll share it with you. I think our listeners might enjoy it.
Yeah.
She had shared in one of her little pocket storybooks where you could kind of open it to any page and see kind of what inspires you for that day. And in this particular story, if I recall, I think she shares about how she used to live on Cape Breton in Nova Scotia. And she's talking about the ravens and the wind up there. And she would notice that the wilder the weather was, the more the ravens would love it. And that they would have the time of their lives in winter when the wind was so gusty and strong and there was ice and snow. And they would challenge the wind. They would get up on the top of trees and they would hold on and let go and then grab on with their beaks. And then at some point, they would just let go into the wind and let it blow them away. And then they played on it and they would float on it. And after a while, they'd go back and start all over. And it's a game. And she once mentions that she saw like these ravens in hurricane velocity winds grabbing at each other's feet, dropping, letting go. It was almost like a circus act. And so it's about being kind of hardy and fearless and playful and having a zest for the challenges of life. And I think that just much like you watch a cat playing with a laser point. If you watch a cat playing with a laser, you see like the sheer joy. The cat's like chasing it. It's fun and it's a game. But, you know, after a while, it could become tedious. And I think such as us with life is that what once was a game, whether we're a raven playing in the wind in a hurricane or a cat chasing a laser, we forget that the people and the obstacles in our lives are just opportunities for us to have more fun during the game.
That's a great way to look at it.
It's just a theory. So, Brian, so tell me, were there any, you know, I know we obviously could talk to you about any of your four books for hours, but were there any takeaways or any things that you would love our listeners in particular to walk away from today's show with, or anything I didn't get a chance to ask you about?
Gosh, you know, just know that you're enough with what you have and who you are and what you have to work with, you know, and the more that you can kind of settle into that and you know, tap into that self-acceptance and self-love, just life gets so much easier. I mean, I like to say, you know, love yourself and everything else falls into place. And so I've had to work on my own, you know, self-worthiness, just like everybody else has. And it just, the more that you can really just fall into that and accept yourself, the easier it gets. And you know, you don't get knocked off your, it's a lot more solid, you know, we don't get knocked around as easily and things don't bother us like they might prior. And so just, I don't know, I always like to remind people of that.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think it's our ability to be resilient in the face of upsets and challenging circumstances and people in our lives that leads to our happiness. But that resilience comes from not taking things personally and having that mm-hmm. self-awareness that you mentioned.
And yes, and living in LA, it's been a hard place to kind of fall in line with that, you know, getting told no at auditions all the time, you know, which we all do. You know what I mean, for example.
Yeah, as one of many examples. In LA, there are many challenges we all get to wake up to.
Comparing ourselves, yes, being told no, et cetera, et cetera. The traffic, I mean, you name it.
Yes, totally agree. Well, tell our listeners, Brian, if they did want to find out more about any of the work you're doing or any of the books you've written, where would they find information about you?
Well, thanks. My website, which is gbrianbenson.com. And the books are on there and lots of videos and short films, et cetera. And they can learn about the new book at habitsforsuccessbook.com. That'll take you to Amazon. And and that new show that's going to be coming up here is awaketvnetwork.com.
And that's on November 11th, I think. And did you say your show is at 11 a.m.?
It launches on November 11th, Monday, November 11th, and my show is on the 13th at 11 a.m.
Perfect. Yep. Well, I definitely, for one, look forward to tuning in and checking it out, as well as finding your movie that you had mentioned. What was the name of that again, about happiness on Gaia? Because I do love that channel, too.
So it's called Searching for Happiness, and it's also on my website, too. And that was really exciting for me a few years ago. It was Spiritual Cinema Circle. Are you familiar with that?
No, but I love the concept. Oh, sounds awesome.
Well, it was a subscriber service. And I think it's still going, where once a month, the subscriber will get a feature and three shorts. And they were all kind of like, you know, positive, thought-provoking films. And I'd always wanted to be a part of that. And Gaia purchased Spiritual Cinema Circle from the original owners. And so now it's part of Gaia, I think. And so Searching for Happiness was one of the shorts of the monthly Spiritual Cinema Circle program a few years ago. And so that was really exciting for me. And then now I think it's just part of, like, you know, their subscriber streaming service. So
that's amazing. Yeah, I love that sort of stuff. Anything we can all be doing just to reflect and learn more about ourselves and connect to greater happiness.
I agree.
Awesome, Brian. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the show. And thank you to all of our listeners, whenever and wherever in the world you're tuning in. You know, thank you for your listenership. This show wouldn't be possible without you and also without our sponsors at Markham Search. So thank you to them. And if you missed any portion of today's show, as a reminder, you can go to iTunes and go to Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You can find this show later in the week, as well as any prior shows that we've done. Or if you go to latalkradio.com, channel 1, Get Yourself the Job, you can find the show page as well as an archive of all prior shows that we've done. So please feel free to leave us any comments on iTunes or on our Facebook page under Get Yourself the Job. And we always thank you for your feedback and for your listenership. And our hearts are still out there with people in Northern California and Southern California impacted by the fires. So we are still thinking of you. And grateful that the radio station where we actually record is in Sherman Oaks, and thankful that everybody over there, Sam and the team, that everybody is safe and okay, and keeping everybody else in our thoughts as well. So wishing everybody a safe and wonderful rest of your week, and thanks again for tuning in.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.